This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Tyler Donaldson and Melissa Hammer. Another round of severe weather is in the forecast. The National Weather Service says thunderstorms are possible this morning and into early this afternoon for South Central North Dakota and the James River Valley. The severe storm risk extends into southeastern North Dakota and west central Minnesota into this evening. Hail and strong winds are the main risk. Once this threat passes, dry weather is predicted tomorrow through the weekend, with highs generally in the 90s.
The new 8 to 10 day forecast calling for below normal temperatures for the August 6th through the 13th time frame across the Dakotas and Minnesota. Extreme northeastern North Dakota, northern Minnesota expected to see near normal rainfall. The rest of North Dakota, Minnesota, northeastern South Dakota have slightly above normal moisture in the forecast.
The current Farm Bill extension expires at the end of September. There's plenty of skepticism that a farm bill will get done this year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
It has been a long and winding road considering we still don't have a farm bill passed. Cumbus Sell and Associates managing partner Tom Sell says an extension will not meet the standards of the agriculture industry.
I think the reality in the country is a simple extension will not do. That's not going to provide the level of security and certainty that's needed on farms. So I think they have to do something. The question is you know, to just extend the program's applicability to next year. The big question is what can be and what should be added to that. Obviously, the hopes has been that an entire farm bill could yet be done this year that provides greater certainty and does some of the very smart things that, for example, were done in the House Farm Bill that passed committee. So the hope has been that all that could be coupled with the extension that kind of drives the need for a farm bill.
Sell says that if they can't get a full farm bill done this year, they will have to talk about an extension and addressing the shortfalls in the farm income for this year.
Along with some of the, like, we had 6 years of precedent for disaster programs in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22 has a lot of questions about it still in the way that USDA in implemented it, but it was there nevertheless. But then you get to 23 and 24, this current crop year, where there's been a lot of natural disaster. There's nothing. So I think all that kind of sets up for members of Congress to try and step in and with an extension also address some of the really critical needs that are out there in farm country.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
Following 2 days of meetings, Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell scheduled to offer comments early this afternoon. Analysts do not expect Powell to cut interest rates this announcement, but that news could be coming in the meeting in mid-September.
Much of the corn in North Dakota and northwest Minnesota is in the R2 to R3 stage of development. With the wet conditions this spring, Pioneer District sales lead Jesse Mock expect some unevenness with this crop.
We're a little bit behind, but it's not overly concerning. You know, we've had some heat to catch us up. You know, if we can pollinate in the month of July, we usually got a good shot of making black layer by October, and then hopefully get good dry down days. So feels like there's a pretty good crop out there. We're going to need some heat through October to finish everything, but I think we got a pretty good shot.
White mold and soybean aphids are immediate concerns for the bean crop. At the Pioneer kickoff meeting in Fargo, Mock introduced the new additions to the lineup.
A few of the things we're really excited about for next year, obviously number one is Z-Series Enlist soybeans. Really that next step change in genetics and yield and agronomics within the Enlist system, we're excited about that. And also we're getting into Power Core Enlist corn. That's another big advancement that we're moving from AM to Power Core. And then also we're bringing some better pod shatter canola.
In the Litchfield area, southwest of Valley City, Ron Truax is pleased with the crop conditions.
The corn looked good for quite a while, and the beans really were dragging, but they're catching up nicely now.
And Truax, a partner in Spring Creek Ag, is seeing some soybean aphid.
Not at threshold levels, but there are some. Seed treatment definitely made a difference this year. Guys have put insecticide on their beans. Numbers are quite a bit lower.
And a reminder, plenty of things on the farm calendar. We will be reporting from the Red River Basin Authority meeting going on in East Grand Forks today. Among their speakers, former House Agriculture Committee Chair Colin Peterson. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday, farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Bismarck area farmer Clark Coleman says hail insurance will help offset some of the damage as crops have taken from recent storms, but it still hurts.
Some of these fields, we might get an adjustment on it, but the agent called me last night and they won't even come out to look at it for 7 to 10 days because they want, it's too soon. And I know that on like the corn and the soybeans, they're going to say go ahead and combine it, because they think they'll tell us that it'll come out of it, and it will. It'll still be a good yield, but it's a little frustrating the way that works.
And Coleman says his corn and soybeans aren't likely to see an adjustment.
I think on the wheat, there's probably going to be a little bit of adjustment because it actually knocks some of the berries out and they're on the ground, and those are not recoupable. And, some of the heads got bent over that are lower than what you're going to be cutting with your header. So there's going to be some loss there with a hail adjustment. But as far as the corn and soybeans, I don't think there'll be any adjustment on it.
While the dry bean acreage fluctuates across the western United States, Columbia Grain CEO Jeff Van Pevenage says demand remains stable.
Varying supply issues around the world and generally decent crops in the United States to fill a lot of those needs. So the last couple of years has been about pintos and blacks moving towards the southern hemisphere type of markets, Mexico and beyond, because of some of the production issues that they've had there. It's a relatively good base of acres in the United States.
North Dakota acreage remains strong.
Yeah, I mean, to us it's stable and looks good. It's part of the reason why we look to expand our business in North Dakota. We're in the middle of building a brand new state-of-the-art bean processing facility in Valley City, North Dakota, which will more than double what we're doing in the business in the state of North Dakota. So,
for the first time, the Center for Rural Policy and Development has released a multi-year agenda focused on challenges and opportunities faced by rural Minnesota communities. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
According to CRPD President and CEO Julie Tesh, the choice to go further out with the agenda allows them to take a deeper look at the many issues impacting rural Minnesota families.
We have been doing an annual research agenda, and we would have a thought leader survey and ask people what was going on in their rural communities and if it was urgent and important. And we've gotten really good at cracking issues open, but we're not able to go in depth. It's myself and I only have two researchers, and so we're only able to go so far. And so when we're talking about things like health care and child care, we want to go deeper. And so our board decided that we would do a three-year agenda so we could go deeper into the topic.
Tesh highlights the five research themes for the three-year agenda.
First one is remaining resilient in an aging rural Minnesota. We're having a large demographic shift. So looking at that baby boomer generation and what does that look like for caring for our elders, filling the workforce shortage left behind by retirees, and then just the social and financial infrastructure impacts from shifting demographics. And then the next one is future of rural access to well-being. And that's anything we'll be looking at the sustainability of rural EMS, access to mental health and addiction services, and then also current and future access to healthcare services. Our third one is the role of rural places and people in a shifting energy infrastructure and the environment. But we're really looking at rural Minnesota's role in a shifting energy infrastructure. They're going to be decommissioning coal plants. What about sustainable airline fuel? What about ethanol? Fourth one is funding local government in changing times. Around the world, there's a shortage of people wanting and willing to work in county government and city government. And there's a lack of people wanting to also run for office. And so we're going to look at that. Final one is our evergreen topic that we've had for a long time is a new future for rural child care. We cracked that open about 7 years ago, and now we'll be able to go more in depth and talk about, what state support needs to happen and what other ideas are out there.
For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is stepping up efforts to vaccinate livestock workers against seasonal flu. The CDC is worried that someone could be infected by the seasonal flu and H5N1 and develop an entirely new virus. States will split $2 million for the vaccine and $3 million to implement the program. Another $5 million will be spent on educating farm employees about the importance of biosecurity and the use of protective gear. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The National Potato Council and several state potato organizations recently submitted comments to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency regarding their draft National Potato Wart Response Plan. National Potato Council CEO Cam Quarles says the goal is to prevent potato wart from entering the U.S.
In our opinion, as you said, a lot of these things are how you manage a disease once you've already got it. The U.S. is in just a materially different place in that we're trying to keep it out of our country. And so we think there are a number of steps that Canada can take that will reduce the risk of this disease being exported to the U.S. in one of these commercial loads that is coming in every single day from Prince Edward Island.
The National Potato Council outlined several steps to prevent the spread of potato wart.
From our perspective, and this is something that Canada has required of the U.S. in other diseases in the past, or other pest and disease issues in the past, is you have to test your fields clean before you get the privilege of exporting to the United States. Again, Canada had that exact same requirement on us. We had to test fields clean in Idaho when we had a particular pest issue a number of years ago. They wouldn't restore our rights to export until those fields were tested clean. There's a different standard for Canada shipping to the United States.
Corteva AgriScience Northern Plains Area Lead Jamie Williamson serves North Dakota, South Dakota, and Northwest Minnesota. Crop conditions fluctuate across that footprint.
You cannot assume anything on this year's crop when you're talking to growers. Every area is different as far as if they got planted late or really late or not at all, and then the type of environment that we've had. So generally a little bit behind on heat units, but some areas have received good rain, some have not. So the crop is kind of all over the board, but certainly not probably the strongest crop that we've ever seen kind of north to south. But there are some pockets that look really good.
There is plenty of time before the combines roll for this season, but Pioneer's already looking ahead to 2025. At their kickoff event in Fargo, Williamson introduced new soybean, corn, and canola technologies.
We invest $4 million a day in research and development, so what we're most excited about are brand new products that we think are going to help solve agronomic problems on the farm at a level that's never been seen before, especially within our Z-Series soybean lineup. We're bringing out high yield, but we're also bringing out some really good tolerance to SDS, white mold, Peking, cyst, nematode resistance, and just overall really strong agronomic plant health. So improved products that are going to handle, the stresses that Mother Nature throws at our farmers every day.
Checking markets, Minneapolis wheat down 2¾ cents for September at 581¾. Chicago wheat September, a gain of 1½ cents. The new crop corn market, a penny higher, 406 is the quote. And new crop soybeans, 9 cents to the plus side. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.